What if somebody has a short fuse? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I've got a fun discussion. Of course, it's for comprehensible input, but I think you'll find it interesting and entertaining. For comprehensible input to work, the story or the discussion needs to be interesting so as to capture your imagination, to keep your attention focused, because that way you absorb the language. So let's get started. I started out with the question, what if someone has a short fuse? What's a fuse? Well, fuse is a funny word in English, and it has a whole bunch of meanings. So I'm going to tell you a story and put things together so that you will learn, in context, the word fuse and all its funny uses. The way I got to this topic today was the other day I was thinking about the year 2025. It's coming to an end, and soon we will have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, the beginning of 2026. Before we get to New Year's Eve, there is a major holiday here in the United States, and that is Christmas. This video will likely be published on Christmas Eve. For today's video, I'm going to skip over Christmas and talk about New Year's Eve. In a previous video, I pointed out that my parents like to entertain people at their home on New Year's Eve, and that for more than a decade, they had big New Year's Eve parties. They entertained lots of friends, and each year, people really enjoyed that party. By contrast, I usually don't celebrate New Year's Eve and New Year's with a party atmosphere. Usually, it's very quiet. My wife and I developed what we called the East Coast Rules. It seemed silly to us to stay up until midnight to give each other a kiss at midnight. That's a common tradition in the United States for a couple to kiss each other right at midnight at the beginning of the new year. And they thus welcome in the new year and wish each other a happy new year. We liked that tradition. That was fine. But staying up till midnight was not fine with us. We realized that one of the ways that the new year is marked in the United States is that each year in Times Square, a ball or an image of a ball descends, and when it stops at the bottom of its fall, that marks New Year's. Some people choose to go to New York City, to Times Square in Manhattan, and watch the ball fall, and thus welcome in the new year. I've never done that, but I understand it's quite a big party in Times Square. Each year, there is video capture of that ball falling, and it's available online or on television. My wife and I, decades ago, decided that we would celebrate New Year's when the ball falls in New York City. After all, we were both from the East Coast. We're currently living in the West Coast on the Pacific time zone, which is 3 hours earlier. When it's midnight in New York City, it's only 9 o'clock at night here in California. And we found that very comfortable to stay up until after 9 o'clock. That's what we call the East Coast Rules for us. That way we didn't have to stay up until midnight. We are early risers, so staying up past midnight is not very comfortable for us. One of the ways that people celebrate the New Year's is with fireworks. Now, fireworks are little objects that can be ignited, and they make light or an explosion or a combination of the two. There are many different kinds of fireworks. The simplest ones are sparklers. They are a metal stick about that long. They have a coating of a flammable material, and embedded in that are chemicals that produce sparks. As I recall, getting a sparkler lit, that is, starting it on fire, was not that easy, but once it's done, it burns from the tip down to the base, providing a big spray of sparks. As dramatic as those sparks are, they are mostly harmless. I've never been burned by the sparks from a sparkler. The metal stick gets very hot, so one can easily get burned by the metal stick because it's so hot. One type of fireworks that was very popular was a firecracker. A firecracker was designed to make a small explosion and a loud noise. Bang! Now, they came in lots of different sizes. Some of them were perhaps 3 centimeters long, a little over an inch long, and they had a fuse coming out of the end of it. One would light the fuse with a match and then throw the firecracker. The fuse would burn down into this wrapped paper firecracker and ignite the small powder charge. Bang! Maybe a flash of light, always a loud noise. Firecrackers startle people, and they startle animals. So you now know that one of the uses of the word fuse is a small piece of string or paper that is lit, perhaps with a match, that burns and ignites a small explosion. Hundreds of years ago, cannons had to be fired in this method. The cannon would be loaded from the muzzle, from the end of the cannon, and then a fuse, a small wick of flammable material, would be placed into the hole, and then with a torch or some sort of match, that fuse would be lit. And when the fuse burned down into the cannon, it would ignite the charge and the cannon would go off, sending the projectile on its way. There were larger firecrackers that used to be available in the United States. Two of them are famous. One was called a cherry bomb. The reason it was called a cherry bomb is because it was shaped and sized like a cherry. They were bright red. They had a fuse that was typically green that came out of the side of the cherry. One would light that fuse and then throw it. These were powerful little firecrackers. They made a very loud noise, and people were harmed by them. More on this soon. There was another type of firecracker that was very famous and popular in the United States called an M80. So the letter M-80. M80s were typically silver, and they had printing in a spiral pattern around them that said, "Do not hold in hand." The whole thing was covered with this caution, "Do not hold in hand." The fuse, instead of coming out of the end, typically came out of the middle. It was usually green. My dad taught me when I was a kid that when we light M80s and cherry bombs, it's wise to use a fingernail to fray the end of the fuse so that it will more readily light. He found it frustrating to try to light a fuse of a cherry bomb or an M80 because they were a little hard to light, unless you frayed the end of it. Then they became very easy to light. The M80 and the cherry bomb were dangerous. For a kid growing up in that era, they were exciting because the explosion they made was loud and powerful. I can remember building castles out of sand, building little structures out of sand that were hollow, and then lighting an M80 or a cherry bomb and blowing up the sand castle. My parents were very focused on safety, and they wanted to make certain that none of the kids would be injured by firecrackers. A firecracker is a type of firework that basically makes a loud noise and not much else. There were other kinds of fireworks. There were bottle rockets, a small piece of wrapped paper, frequently with colors and designs. To the side of that was attached a stick, perhaps 8 or 9 inches long. And then the fuse was not on the far end, it was toward the end that has the stick trailing away behind it. One would place a bottle rocket in the neck of a bottle, like a soda bottle, and then light it. And that was the launching pad for these little rockets. They would typically fly up perhaps 100 feet and explode with a flash of light. There was a type of fireworks that we saw back then called a Roman candle. It was a stick, perhaps 2 feet long. The fuse was on the top end. One would stick it into the ground and then light the fuse. It would project balls of fire, and they typically did not explode or make loud noises. They just produced a lot of different colored light displays. Roman candles would send these balls of fire one after another. So are all of these popular in the United States at the present time? The answer is no. Something happened. In 1966, a federal law banned some of these fireworks. The M80 and the cherry bomb were deemed too powerful and too dangerous, so they were banned at the federal level. That means that none of the states can sell those. In addition to the federal ban on those two types of fireworks, different states have different regulations. Some are stricter and some are more relaxed. In California, fireworks are, for the most part, banned. They're prohibited. It has been determined that they represent a hazard to people and a fire risk. Occasionally, one will hear an explosion one might attribute to fireworks, but these are not common. In the 21st century, the fireworks that we see in the United States are done professionally. Licensed fireworks operators design their displays. They select their location with safety in mind. There are a lot of regulations that they have to follow, and these fireworks displays by professional fireworks operators are usually done for special events, and they may be sponsored by municipalities like cities or counties. The reason I was thinking about fireworks is that there is typically a fireworks display in Santa Cruz each year on New Year's Eve, and it is professionally done. It is visible from our house in the distance. Sometimes the visibility between our house and the coast is obscured by fog or clouds, so we can hear the fireworks, but we can't see them. There are other times of year, there are other times throughout the year, when fireworks are displayed in Santa Cruz. because of our distance from Santa Cruz, when we hear the fireworks, the sound is very muffled and very indistinct. It's not clear what it is, but it sounds like a rumbling. It actually sounds like distant thunder. In recent years, I have occasionally heard that sound and concluded that a thunderstorm was going to occur, that was thunder in the distance, and that we may be getting some severe weather. On closer investigation, I have found the fireworks down at the coast faintly visible in the distance. Because of our experience with thunderstorms causing wildfires, whenever I hear thunder, I am alert to a potential threat of wildfires. Having thought through all of this, when the fireworks go off in Santa Cruz on New Year's Eve, I will not be surprised and I will not mistake it for thunder. These professional fireworks operators do not light fuses with matches. Their fireworks are triggered electronically. Typically, they are programmed and managed by a computer. They design the display. They decide what is going to occur at every step along the way. And then the computer program executes that plan. So for modern fireworks displays, there are no fuses at all. So what is a short fuse? Well, it's a fuse that's short. The term short fuse is usually used metaphorically to describe someone with a short temper, someone who can easily be enraged. If someone quickly overreacts to something, one can say that he had a short fuse. Another meaning for the word fuse, with the same spelling, is to unite things together, to form a unit by uniting two or more pieces. If someone welds two pieces of metal together, the process fuses those two pieces to make a single unit. Some artists melt glass, small pieces of glass, to make a beautiful design. When the glass melts, the pieces, the smaller pieces, fuse, making a larger piece, ideally with lots of different colors and an interesting design. The last use of the word fuse that I'd like to share with you today has to do with electrical circuits. When one is working with electricity, safety is important. Electricity can harm people and can cause fires. Ever since electricity was introduced into industrial sites and homes, it was known to be necessary to set a limit on the current flow in a given circuit. The unit that we use to describe current for electricity is the ampere. People typically shorten that word to amp. In the United States, most of the electrical receptacles into which you would plug a device are limited to 15 amps. There are heavy-duty circuits that can accept 20 amps, and then still others can use even higher amperage. Usually when the circuit is equipped for higher amperage, the plug, that is the design of the prongs and the receptacle, are different. For many decades, houses and industrial sites' circuits were protected against overload with fuses. A fuse is a small electrical device that is removable. It has a section made of metal that will melt if it is overheated. These fuses have ratings. One fuse might be rated for 10 amps. Another fuse might be rated for 15 or 20 amps. The idea is that if the current across that fuse exceeds its rating, then the metal will overheat and melt. The melting of the metal will break the circuit, shut down the electricity, and provide safety. If one overloads a fuse and it melts, thus shutting down the circuit, that's called blowing a fuse. Again, a metaphor. No one is blowing, but the fuse blows and is no longer working as a conductor. That can save lives. That can save buildings. Typically, the fuses were kept in a fuse box, and that is an electrical box with a lot of fuses that protected the various circuits in the house or the building. Now, fuses are not as popular as they used to be because these fuses in homes have been largely replaced by circuit breakers. Circuit breakers serve the same function, but nothing has to melt. Circuit breakers don't blow, they flip. The reason we use the term flip is because there is a mechanism that changes position. It flips. Circuit breakers can be reset, so they don't have to be replaced. They provide the same level of protection, perhaps even better protection, but you don't have to replace them. One just corrects the problem and resets the circuit breaker. Circuit breakers are also convenient for working on circuits. They are an on-off switch so that you can turn off the circuit and then do something to the electrical fixture. For instance, tomorrow I need to replace one of our light switches. Our light switch has burned out. It's not working properly. So I ordered a new one. It will come in today. And tomorrow, I will go down to the basement, flip the circuit breaker. When I come back up, I'll make sure that that circuit is turned off. And then I will replace that light switch. I will replace it safely. Automobiles, vehicles, trucks, and cars typically have fuses to protect the electrical circuits in the cars. I've never seen a car with circuit breakers. They typically have fuses that are easy to install. These fuses are kept in a fuse box, which may be in the engine compartment, but is more commonly in the passenger compartment under the dashboard. Occasionally, you will hear someone use the term blow a fuse metaphorically. If you say that somebody blew a fuse, you would mean that they reacted very strongly to something. So in 2025, I don't expect to light any fuses. I don't expect to blow a fuse. And I don't choose to have a short fuse. I do have some fuses in my car, but I'm hoping none of them blow. I don't want car repairs added to my list of things to do. Next week, when there is fireworks being displayed in Santa Cruz, and I hear the sounds of the fireworks in the distance, I will not be surprised, and I will not mistake that sound for thunder. I would like to request that if you have not yet subscribed to the Input English channel, please do so. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.